Title of our message today is Walking on Water. Based on our gospel reading, especially these verses where we read again, and Peter answered to Jesus, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. I invite you to turn into your bulletin, find the sermon outline. It's sort of a beige color this morning as we consider our theme, walking on water. You know, I've learned over the years that no matter what a preacher does, he just can't please everybody. Trying to please everybody with your sermon often feels like you're trying to walk on water. It hardly can be done. There was a guest pastor who came to a congregation to prepare to deliver his sermon that he had carefully prepared. And after the service was over, he greeted the worshipers at the back door, as is the custom of many churches, and one particular man came through. He shook the visiting pastor's hand, looked him in the eye, and said, "That was a terrible sermon." The visiting pastor was a little taken back, but he especially was concerned when he saw the guy get back in the line again to take a second shot at him. And he came through again and said to him, "Your stories were dull and boring." And he looked at his guest, his host pastor, and his host pastor just went like this. And he got back again and took a third shot coming through the line to talk to the guest pastor. And the third time he said, "Your sermon was so boring, I fell asleep twice when you were preaching." The host pastor turned to the guest and said, "Pay no attention to that man. He's not very bright. He just repeats what he hears everybody else saying." Trying to preach a sermon that's pleasing to everybody and keeps everybody awake, and you know who you are, is often as hard as it is trying to walk on water. It's true in my life, it's true in your life. Trying to do the right thing in our lives, at times it's like trying to walk on water. Walking on water, or at least treading water. Trying to keep our heads above water, if you will. Now, we make many attempts in our life today to keep our heads above water. We try to be a good father and mother. We try not to hold a grudge against somebody else. We try to kick a bad habit. We try to repair a broken relationship. We try to stand up in face of disappointments that hit us like a ton of bricks. To try to live an authentic Christian life today can be like trying to walk on water. And Peter can certainly relate to this in our gospel lesson for today. Peter wanted to do what Jesus asked him to do, to walk on the sea. But the winds and the waves of the sea and his own doubts and his own fears got the better of him, and you know that he sunk. In the scripture, the sea, it's on your outline, is a common biblical symbol for trouble or for an enemy of God or an enemy of his people. Listen to Psalm 18, 16 to 17. Listen carefully. It says, God reached down and brought me up of the many waters. He brought me from the deep waters of the sea. He delivered me from my strong enemies, for they were too strong for me. All through the scripture, the sea is a metaphor or a picture of the enemy of God's people and God's enemies himself. Why? It's on your outline. I've actually, believe it or not, written a book on the topic. Here it is. If you want a good sleep sometime, come borrow this. The book I've written is entitled God's Battle with the Sea. It was my second master's thesis. Now, why did I write such a book? Well, first of all, I was intrigued by the passage in Revelation 21, verse 1, where it says this. John has a vision of heaven, and John says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and the sea was no more. John's vision of heaven, including a time where there was no longer any sea. And my first request, my first question was, Lord, what do you have against the sea? It's so beautiful. And since we moved out here, especially from the high prairies, Lord, we love living near the sea. Why does John's book in Revelation 21:1 says, when we get to heaven, there'll no longer be any sea? It only makes sense, don't you see? When you understand that the sea in the Holy Scripture is a metaphor and often a symbol for the enemy of God's people and enemies of God himself. Think about the life of Jesus. What did Jesus do with or on or around the sea? Jesus walked on the sea. Jesus stills the storm at the sea. Jesus teaches from a boat on the sea. Jesus cast demons into pigs who ended up where? In the sea. Jesus brings a miracle of great fish from the sea. This is no coincidence. This is God's statement of saying, where the enemies of God seem to have their stronghold, in the very depths of the sea, that's where our Lord Jesus Christ has victory and power. He has power over the sea. God's battle with the seas in our life always comes out the same way. God wins the battle. And that's why St. John said, when I saw a vision of heaven, there was no longer any sea. That is to say, no longer any tears, no longer any heartaches, no longer any enemies of God and his people. God has won. There's no longer any sea. The question of our sermon today is this, and it's written before you. What is the sea in your life today? What problem? What enemy are you facing that you just can't seem to overcome? The answer is never found in you trying harder, you trying to tread water. The answer is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 31 of our text. And Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of Peter and brought him back up out of the water. You see, faith is not the courage to face danger. Faith is entrusting myself to Jesus as he takes hold of me. We can see this whole idea of walking on water today as a call to new obedience. That is to say, if we say with our mouth we have trust in our Lord, it should show in the way we live. Walking on water can be a call to new obedience. And that's a word of challenge, especially to us Lutherans. Because our Lutheran faith is strong on justification, but weak on sanctification. What does that mean? We talk a lot about getting right with God, justification, and that is most important. But often, we don't talk a lot about, preach a lot about, or teach enough about obedience, sanctification. But notice Jesus' interaction with Peter. Listen to these verses again. And Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Did you hear the key verbs? Peter came. Peter got out of the boat. Peter walked to Jesus. Here is a call for each of us today. For our faith in our Lord Jesus to move from our head to our heart, to our hands, and to our feet. That is, our faith finally needs to move to action and obedience. Maybe some of you remember that wonderful musical entitled My Fair Lady. I love the musical. It's basically about a professor who had a bet with his buddies that he could take a woman, a Cockney woman off the streets of England and teach her proper English and teach her to be a proper lady. Marvelous musical. The professor's name, Professor Higgins. The woman is named Eliza. And Eliza, in the course of her relationship with Professor Higgins, falls in love with him. And she's tired of him talking about his love for her, as professors do, talk about things. She's tired of him explaining the nuances and the philosophy of love and affection. She wants a demonstration of his love. For goodness sakes, she wants a long, deep, wet kiss. That's what she wants. And she says these words to Professor Higgins. I quote, "Don't talk of stars burning above. If you're in love, show me. Sing me no song, read me no rhyme. Don't waste my time, show me. Don't talk of June, don't talk of fall, don't talk at all. Show me." Now, the point is funny, but listen carefully. Can you hear Almighty God saying to you the same words? Can you hear Almighty God saying to you these same words about moving your faith from your head to your heart to the way you live? Listen to God saying to you, "Don't talk of stars burning above. If you're in love, show me. Sing me no song, read me no rhyme. Don't waste my time, show me. Don't talk of June, don't talk of fall. Don't talk at all, show me." Walking on water is a call. A call to new obedience, that our faith should finally result in obedience and action. What Jesus did on the cross for you and for me both forgives our sins and empowers us for a new kind of living. That is, Jesus' work on the cross both justifies us and sanctifies us. The good news of the gospel is this: Jesus' death on the cross for your sins and for mine, thank God, and his rising from the grave has absolutely won for you and for me the forgiveness of all of our sins. It has made us right with God. We are justified. But we shortchange the gospel. We shortchange what Jesus has done for us on the cross when we fail to see, to trust, and to act upon this truth, that the risen Jesus Christ, living in us by the power of our baptism into his name, gives us the strength to live as his children and to obey his will. Jesus' words to Peter empower him and encourage him. Jesus' words to Peter empower us and encourage us as well. Listen again to part of the gospel. Find yourself in this story, Peter. Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got out into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus says to us and does for us what he said to and did for Peter. He says to you, "Do not fear. Take heart." He says to you, "Get out of the boat and come to me." And when we try and fail, and we will, Jesus reaches out to us as he did to Peter, and brings us back out of the water, so that we can then respond in faith, "Lord, truly, you are the Son of God." The point of our sermon, in fact, if you're looking for the Reader's Digest summation of the whole sermon, Look at the last point before the conclusion on your outline. The point of this message is not. This is not the message point. The point is not, you must walk on water like Peter. No. The point is, Jesus conquers the seas in our lives, and He helps us to do the same. There's an old fable entitled The Fable of the Birds, the story of creation. It was soon after creation day, and all the animals are walking around enjoying the new gift of life God has given them. They're all praising God and thanking Him, except for the birds. The birds are complaining. The birds are grousing, pardon the pun. They're upset. They're wondering why, of all the animals in creation, God has put these heavy appendages on their shoulders and made it so hard for them to walk around like all the other animals. Why us, they complain. Why have you given us this heavy burden to bear? Until finally a couple of the more adventurous birds begin moving their appendages and realizing they're not burdens, they're wings of all things. And these birds discover they have been given this blessing and gift of God. Of all animals in creation, they alone can fly. Many of us act like those silly birds regarding God's call to obedience to be a burden and not a blessing. But obedience to our Lord is never a burden. It is a blessing. Obedience and faith is simply looking to Jesus, especially when the rough waters come, and being the person He has called you to be, as His hand every day lifts you out of your waters and helps you to walk with Him. Dear Lord, we pray today that You would strengthen both our faith and our obedience to You, that we might thus walk on water with You. In the name of Jesus, amen.